Greetings in the name of the Lord. Over this long period of time, we've been studying together in many, many lessons the book of Galatians from the New Testament. I pointed out before, and let me repeat for some of you who may be joining this for the first time, the book of Galatians is an important doctrinal book of the New Testament, and it refutes a very important false teaching that they were facing in that day and that we face today. Now, there are various of these doctrinal books, and I want to challenge you who have never really opened your Bibles to study the Word of God itself. You've been listening to your church, you've been listening to the teachings of man, you've been reading the books of men and various other things, but you've never read God's book, the Holy Word of God. So I want to challenge you. Get into the teaching of the Word of God. Get into some of these doctrinal books, for instance. People ask me, which gospel should I first study as a new believer or as a seeking believer? In other words, I'm not yet a believer, but I'm a seeker. I'm seeking after the truth, and I want to believe. And so, which book should I study? I tell them, get into the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John explains everything concerning the person and work of Christ, what I need to do concerning Him, the claims He made about Himself and everything. And then, of course, how I live my life after I am saved. This is going to be chapters 14 through 17, how I live my life after I'm saved. In fact, even chapter 13 through 17 of the Gospel of John. But every question is answered there concerning the basics of our faith. And so if you've never studied the Word of God, get into it. Go from there into the book of Romans, another important doctrinal book. Go from there into the book of Ephesians, or the book of Colossians, or the book of 1 and 2 Peter, another set of very important doctrinal books. Now, we have been studying in the book of Galatians through the first four chapters, and I've completed the study of these four chapters. And it's answering the question, are Christians under the law of Moses? Is the law of Moses a means of salvation? Is it a means by which we keep our salvation? Or is it a means by which we live the Christian life? And the answer to all three of these questions is no. We're not connected with the law of Moses anymore. The law of Moses is holy. It was from God. It is holy and righteous before God. There's nothing wrong with the law of Moses. But the law of Moses had a purpose, to lead people into the clear knowledge of their sinful, lost condition before God, and to prepare their hearts through the sacrificial system for the coming Messiah. That's what he was called in the Old Testament, the Messiah, the Deliverer. We call him the Savior. It's the same idea exactly. So the Old Testament people, the nation of Israel, had the law of Moses because Christ did not yet come. They needed something to direct them into their sinful condition. How would they know their sinful condition? And then the sacrificial system would be a picture. The millions and millions of sacrifices offered every year would be a picture of the coming Savior, of His one sacrifice on the cross. This is why today no one offers sacrifices anymore, because He was that last sacrifice for sin, the one sacrifice on the cross. And so no one offers. There will never be another sacrifice other than the sacrifice of the divine Son of God, who came down from heaven and lived, proved Himself to be the true Messiah, and then sacrificed Himself, shedding His blood for our sins on the cross. And so the promise is, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So isn't this a wonderful, wonderful truth? The law has fulfilled its purpose. Jesus said the same thing in Matthew chapter 5. In other words, that the law would be in force until all would be fulfilled. And I mark those words until in my Bible. And of course, this is very, very important. And then when we came into chapter 3, again and again in the last part of chapter 3 of Galatians, that same word is used, until or till. And then it says that after faith has come, we are no longer under the teacher. The teacher, of course, he explained before, was the law of Moses. When faith has come, now that the work has been completed by the Lord Jesus, we're no longer under the teacher. Now we have come into the fifth chapter. We've come into the practical section. But in the first part of the fifth chapter, there's a bridge between the doctrinal section and the practical section. It's like a bridge going from one to the other. And he's saying here now that, first of all, you are free in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're to stand fast in this freedom. However, you're to be very careful that you're not trapped by false teachers into giving up your freedom. So it's like a bridge here, a bridge of warning. Now, the last thing we talked about, and that is that these false teachers had come into the church in Galatia. Paul was not there. Paul could only be there for brief periods of time when he was on his first missionary journey. Then he had to leave because of persecution. But these false teachers were in that city continually with these believers. They were saying, Paul's not coming back. And Paul has ignored the fact that the law of the Old Testament is precious to God, and he's led you away from the precious things of the Old Testament into his teaching that you're saved only by faith. And so they were not denying faith. They were saying, yes, what Paul taught was correct, but what Paul did not teach was that the law is still important in our lives for us to follow it. And so they began to teach them. It is Christ plus the law. It is faith plus following the law that's going to take you to heaven, that will keep your salvation, and will be the means of your Christian life, of living victoriously your Christian life. And of course, it was a false teaching. And so these things seemed to be very precious to these Galatian Christians, the things of the law, and they were too precious to give up. They were being taught this. This was being enforced on them. The things of the Old Testament are too precious to give up, and how dare you give them up? And so, it was going to take now a clear decision on their part. Would they be willing to leave the false teachers, leave their false teaching, and follow only the Lord Jesus Christ, and be led and directed and empowered by the Holy Spirit in living their Christian lives? Or would they follow the false teaching, taking Jesus plus everything else? Jesus plus good works, in other words. That's where they were being taught, the good works of the law. So they had to make a decision in this. And I want to say this is true today. Some of you are listening today, and you belong to churches that are teaching you you're still under the law of Moses. This is a false teaching. Please study Romans chapter 3, verse 19 to the end of chapter 7. Please study the book of Galatians. Please study the book of Ephesians and other books like this. The book of Ephesians, for instance, is clearly teaching to the Gentile believers and to the Jewish believers in the church at Ephesus that now the wall of the law, has been broken down. In other words, now Jews and Gentiles are one in the Lord Jesus Christ. They enjoy not only the same salvation, but now they belong to the same fellowship together. They worship together. They study the Word of God together. They grow together in the Christian faith. They love each other very differently, very definitely and very permanently. They love each other. And so these believers now in the church, both Jews and Gentiles, are no longer separated by the precepts of the law. That was for the Jewish nation, and that separated them from the Gentiles outside. But now Jews and Gentiles together are in the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Gentiles have not simply come into the Jewish religion, but now they are together in the Lord Jesus Christ himself. They're worshiping him, they're loving him, they're following him with all their hearts. And so this is the teaching that he's giving here in this passage. Now, let me say this again. If you're into false teaching of any kind, whether it's following the law or whatever it is, first of all, go back to the Word of God. Confirm, in other words, from the Word of God what I'm teaching you. I'm not teaching you something that's not in the Bible. We've been following almost verse by verse by verse through this book of Galatians, and I have not strayed from it in the tiniest bit. And so go back to the Word of God yourself. Prove it yourself that what you're following is a false teaching, and then make your clear decision, I'm going to leave the false teaching, and I'm going to follow only the truth of the Word of God. I will not follow anything else except the truth of the Word of God. I don't care what the false teachers have told me already. I don't care what the church I go to has told me concerning following the law, and so forth. This is a false teaching, and with God's help, I'm not going to follow it anymore. I'm going to decide now. I belong to the Lord Jesus. I'm saved by grace through faith entirely apart from works. I'm kept in the faith entirely apart from the works of the flesh, whether it's of the law or simply the good works that I seek to do to add to my salvation. And I live the Christian life with the help of the indwelling Holy Spirit, who teaches me the principles I'm to follow, the standards I'm to follow in the Christian life, and then empowers me to follow those as I follow them with all my heart. Without such a clear and final decision on our part, you will still leave yourself open to any false teaching that might come along. This was true for the Galatians, and it's true for us today. So his Paul's command to them is therefore a strong one. Stand in the liberty with which Christ has made you free. Now, by implication, he's also commanding them to cast off and forever reject these false teachers who have come in among them and led them astray. Is there not only to make this firm and final decision to leave the false teaching, but have nothing to do with the false teachers themselves. Now, if you want to look this up, there are a number of passages that teach the idea of separating from false teachers. First of all, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 9. Titus chapter 1, verses 10 to 17. 2 Peter, the entire second chapter of 2 Peter, in fact. And then in 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. And then in 2 John, verses 1 to 7. Now, I want to talk a little bit about this. Verses 1 to 7 and then 7 to 11, especially 7 to 11 in verses. It's just one chapter in the book of 2 John. But in verses 7 to 11, he says, you don't even let the false teachers in your house. You totally reject them. If they've come into your church pretending to be Christians and they're not willing to repent and change their ways and stop teaching their false teaching, they're to be expelled from the church itself. You're to have nothing to do with the false teachers, because they're going to tickle your ears and they're going to lead you astray if you even have association with them. So you don't let them into your house. You don't wish them God's blessing. You certainly would pray that someday they might realize the truth, but you're not going to stay under their influence, and that's the danger we face. So, first of all, they make a decision. I'm not going to follow the false teaching, and then I'm going to cast off and reject these false teachers who have come in among us or who come to my door, however you might meet them, or who are on the television or the radio, and I'm tempted to listen to them. I'm rejecting them now, and I'm not going to listen to them. In other words, don't listen to false teaching. Have nothing to do with it. And then he proceeds to illustrate one of the compromises they've been tempted to make with the truth. Let me get the words out correctly. They've been tempted to make one of these compromises. It was a teaching that God required men to accept this symbol of circumcision as a sign they were under the law. And many people were saying, you have to do this. And unless you do this, it proves that you're not really loyal to God. And so this was a sign that they were under the law. And so the Christians were to reject this as a teaching of religion itself, not for health reasons, but as a teaching of religion itself. Then the next thing that happens in verses 4 to 6, let's go down to verses 4 to 6 now, and in just several minutes we're going to have to close and then go to another lesson for the continuation. The next thing he shows in verses 4 to 6, he shows them the significance of what they have done under these false teachings. Now, many Christians today do not realize the seriousness of the departure from the truth. Many people today, very religious people, and they will point to their very religious nature. You look, I'm more faithful than you are. I go to church more often than you do. I follow the precepts of my church more than you do in your church. And why do you judge me? No, I'm not judging you. But God is simply saying that when you've departed from the truth, you've departed from what God has taught, then you need to understand the significance of what you've done. You've not found the truth at all. You're not going on in the truth, but rather you've departed from it, and you've departed from what God wants you to know, and therefore you put yourself under the condemnation, under the punishment of God. As God is going to judge the false teachers, he's going to judge their followers. Now, even people who are very religious, you may stand before God someday and say, well, I went to church every Sunday. I went to church even every day. I did this, I did that, what the church told me to do. And I did this thing and that thing in the way of good works. And in this case, I followed the law religiously in my life. He's going to say to them, no, you've departed from the faith. You've departed from the truth because you're depending upon other things to save you, to help you keep your salvation, and to live the Christian life. I provided the truth for you. I gave the truth very clearly to you, and you've departed from it. And so, this is something we need to clearly understand. Now, let's just begin this, and then I'm going to have to stop in just about 2 minutes. These people have not simply added something to grace. This is what they were told. You're simply adding to grace. This is what Paul didn't teach you. You need to know the blessing of what we're going to add to the grace of God. And what he is saying is this. You don't add anything to grace. If you try to add anything to it, you have departed from grace. And this is exactly the words he uses in chapter 5. He says, you have departed from grace. You've fallen from grace. Verse 4, chapter 5. In other words, Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever you are, who are justified by the law. You have fallen from grace. You are fallen from grace. And so understand this very clearly, that if you're depending upon the law, you're not under grace anymore. You have nothing to do with grace. You're not under grace anymore if you've departed from the law. And so you need to depend only upon the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to have to stop right here. Our time is finished. But I want to say this in closing, just a word in closing. And that is, many of you are religious, but accept the fact that if you're depending upon anyone else or anything else to help take you to heaven besides the Lord Jesus Christ himself, you are still lost in your sin. In other words, you're religious but lost. So my advice to you is this, not because of me, but because of the Word of God. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust Him alone as your only means of salvation. And by the grace of God and the indwelling Holy Spirit, then live your Christian lives to the glory of God. May God help you, each one, to follow the truth. And if you are a Christian, don't depart into any false teaching. Reject every form of false teaching. And follow only the Lord Jesus Christ. May God help you, each one.